Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We are in the sixth week of our Lenten series called From the Grave. This was a series that was generated from A.W. Tozer's book by that same title. It's a devotional book for this season, and we have enjoyed going through that together. We started to look at the path of the cross really is a path of suffering. And we asked ourselves on week one of this series, what does it mean to be a people of the cross and to be people of suffering? Looked at the second week of what it means to be people of perseverance, to fight through every day, and to break the mold of Christian mediocrity, to be people who listen to the Word of God and do what it says. We asked ourselves in week three, who's on the throne of our hearts? Who is in control? Who is making the decisions in our heart? Is it me or is it the Lord? We asked ourselves what it means to be obedient and to discover God's will, and we discovered that finding God's will in the small things of life help us to identify God's will in the larger areas of our life. And last week, we were struck by the story of Jesus' triumphal entry coming into the city, and we said that Jesus was compelled to come into Jerusalem. Jesus was compelled to the cross. He was drawn to the cross. He was motivated to the cross. This wasn't something that he was holding back. He was absolutely compelled by love for you and I as he marched toward the cross. You know, the images that we have of Jesus are often images that are a little bit emotionless, if you would look at them. If you do a Google search for the images of Jesus, you'd probably see some of these come up. These are images where he's standing in reverence. His face is usually fairly pretty straight. He's reaching out. He's lifting up. These are images that are pretty common to us when we think of Jesus. And yes, he is a loving and tender, compassionate Savior. He is one who will lay down his life. He's the gentle shepherd. He's the one who preached the message that about meekness and turning the other cheek and praying for our enemies and striving for peace. But if this is the image that we see only of Jesus, if this is the side of the coin being mild and meek and emotionless, or on a cross being defeated, if that's the picture we have of Jesus, we're seeing only one side of the coin. I believe there's another side of this coin of Jesus that we often fail to see or forget to see. It's that side that we want to spend time looking at today. To do this, I want to look at the pictures we see in Scripture. We're going to look at the very first picture we see in Scripture of Jesus, and we're going to look at one of the very last pictures we see of Jesus in Scripture as well. That first picture of Jesus in Scripture is not the birth narrative. The first time we see Jesus is not in the Gospels. It's not when he's being born in human form. In fact, the first time we hear Jesus mentioned comes in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. The author of the book of Genesis is detailing the creation story and detailing the fall of man. You know, when you look at the creation story, we can have lots of conversations about how it happened. You know, was it in 6 days or was it in 60 billion years? I love being a part of a faith tradition that allows conversation like that to happen. But what we see is a creator who put everything in motion for us in a really good way. This world was set. It was beautiful. It was self-sustaining. And we were placed here just to keep it that way. There was one rule in the Garden of Eden, and it was to not eat from a particular tree. But there was one problem. Us. Mankind has this one fatal flaw. We want to call the shots. And so when Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin began its ugly rule on all of humanity. And in that moment, God came to speak judgment over that act, but he also speaks of a solution. Verse 15, chapter 3 of Genesis. And I, speaking to the serpent, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus stomping on the serpent behind the head, ending this rule of sin in this world. It's a picture of a solution that will take care of this problem once and for all. As we were preparing for Christmas, we looked at this image of Eve standing next to Mary. In Eve's failure, we see the serpent wrapped around her leg, but we see Mary stomping on that her offspring will eventually take care of this problem. It's a powerful image for us. Scripture has always identified Jesus as being strong and powerful. Joshua identifies him as the captain of the Lord's mighty army. Samuel sees him as the judge over all creation. The prophet Obadiah says that he will be the destroyer of the proud and the arrogant. Nahum reminds us that he is a jealous and avenging God. Habakkuk says and proclaims him to be the everlasting rock that will stand over the test of time. These are not images of a weak Savior. These are not pictures of a God who's going to send his son and just be powerless. These are pictures of a strong and mighty God. So there's a word that has been coming to my mind as I've been reading through Tozer's book and as I've been contemplating this image of Christ. It's an image that, it's a word rather that I think paints this picture really clearly. The word is conqueror. When I think of Jesus now, I don't want to think of him as being just this emotionless God, although I know there's reasons for the artistry to do that. I want to see him as being a conqueror, a victor. Last week, as we talked about his compelling love, I believe we began to see that imagery of him like that. He was drawn to do this, compelled by his love for us. And so it is my desire to see him as a conqueror and not anything less. So in that first mention of Jesus, we see him defeating sin and death. And that was the prophecy right out of the gate. In Revelation 19, John is on the island of Patmos and he's inspired by this great vision where he sees Jesus coming back to this earth. He writes it this way, "Then I saw heaven open and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him, and no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty like juice flowing from the winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of all Lords." Now that's a powerful image of Jesus. We could do an entire sermon series on this passage and unpack all that is being seen here. But when I think of Jesus now, I want to see this conquering king. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I believe there's a time when Jesus is coming back. I believe there's a time that we will see him as conqueror. On his first arrival, it was the beginning of forgiveness in our lives. But the picture of his second arrival puts an end to this battle between sin and righteousness once and for all. His first arrival, his entrance was kind of unmarked. It was to a young and poor couple born into a stable. But I believe when Jesus returns, it will be unmistakable. I believe that he will be leading heaven's army, and it will be a powerful moment. So when we see Jesus like this as a conquering king, suddenly my mind kind of changes. When we face cancer, we can call out on a conquering king. When we face sorrow, we can call out on a conquering Messiah. When we face brokenness, we can call out on a conquering friend. When our children are hurting emotionally or physically, we can call out on a conquering Jesus. When our needs outweigh our resources, we can call out on a conquering Savior. Now, these may be obvious when we're talking about things that we struggle with. But can I challenge you with the other side of that coin today as well? Because see, when we're healthy and when we're emotionally stable, we need to thank a conquering Jesus. When relationships are plentiful and supportive, we can thank a conquering Jesus. When work is good, when home life is good, when the car is running and the bank account is in the black, we can thank a conquering Jesus for those gifts. Because consider this, not only did God have a plan to destroy sin and death in the garden, not only did we get a glimpse and a glance at that conquering King of Jesus coming back that we see in Revelation, but I believe that those of us who call out on Jesus now, today by faith, share in that victory immediately. Right here and right now. This is not a distant and fuzzy victory. This is a victory that is available for all of us who call out on His name. Nobody understood struggle better than Paul. The Apostle Paul understood struggle for the kingdom better than anyone on the face of this earth. And yet, in Romans 8, he talks about this victory, starting in verse 31, the second half. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, was raised. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Jumping down to verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but I think we should read that every morning. I mean, before your feet get on the ground, you should be reminded of Romans 8, where Paul says that the victory has been secured. You don't need to worry about what's coming your way, because our Lord is a conquering Lord. I just hear the confidence that flows from Paul in these words, a man who placed his complete trust in a God who was victorious, who was a conqueror, and one who has given that power and authority right back to us on this earth today. That's encouraging to me. But the problem is, I often miss that confidence. I often struggle to believe that God is going to really save the day in my life. I read in Tozer this week, in one of the days, he said, we often give Him our sympathy, but scarcely our confidence. Why is that? Why do I not trust in the resurrection every day of my life? Why do I not trust in the victory of Christ in every situation of my life? Why do I not hold confidently to the idea that God is strong enough to overcome my struggle? As your pastor, I'm just here to acknowledge that there are moments in my life where I failed to trust God. And the problem is that because I am like Adam, I have a critical and often fatal flaw in me. I want to call the shots. That has to die. That has to die. We were called to be the people of the cross. We were called to be people who are willing to give our all to Him who has given His all for us. So in order for me to be able to share in the victory of Christ, the conqueror, I have to believe that He loves my kids more than I do. For me to share in the victory of Christ as conquering King, I have to believe that He will provide for me. I don't have to worry about that. To share in the victory of Christ, this conquering King, I have to believe that His ways are always better than my ways. even though I'm convinced that my ways are pretty good, that has to die. In order for me to share the victory of Christ, the conquering King, I have to not only believe, but I have to be willing to take up this cross on my own. And I have to be willing to walk those steps with Christ confidently. So I'm wondering, my question for you is this. Are you living today a faith in Jesus that is a conquering King who has conquered sin and death and can conquer anything in your life? Or are you living a faith that still looks at the world with a sense of desire of all that this world offers us? Easter is a day that reminds us that the victory is ours for those of us who call out on faith in Jesus Christ. And they can take my life, and they can take my health, but the victory is still ultimately the Lord's. I want you to think about these words. If the sea couldn't stop Moses, if a wall couldn't stop Joshua, if a giant can't stop David, and if death couldn't even stop Jesus, then nothing can stop you from accomplishing His purposes in your life. Nothing can stop you from accomplishing His purposes in your life. That's good stuff. If I were to cite my source, I'd have to cite Facebook for that. True story. I saw it somewhere. I wrote it down. I thought it was fantastic. That's our landing for this day. Our Lord is a mighty warrior today. He is strong enough to defend you. He is brave enough to defeat the sin in your life. And He is stubborn enough to never, ever give up on you. That's our Lord. Pictures of Him may make Him look pretty gentle, kind, and He is. But I believe you would not want to spar with Him. He's a mighty warrior. He's a King of Kings. And He is available for all who call out on His name. Defeating sin and death by coming out of the grave on Easter Sunday. Tip of the iceberg for my God. Tip of the iceberg for my God. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, today I pray to You in this moment as we wrap this day of celebration up. I ask, God, that You would remind us of Your power and authority. Please forgive me, God, when I have been failed to see Your ultimate love in my life, Your power and authority in my family, the way that You want to move in our community, and the way You'll do things that I can never explain even in this church. God, we do not come here week after week believing You to be just, you know, lifeless. We believe in this place that You are a mighty and powerful conquering King, and that's what we celebrate on this day. For those who are here today struggling with doubt, wondering if any of this is true, I pray, God, that You would reveal Yourself to them. For those today who have gathered in this place and are struggling with a wall in front of them and they have no idea how this will be conquered, I pray, God, that You would give them a confident hope that You've got their back. And Lord, would You fill those of us who have been walking with You this day. May our testimony be strong as we trust in You. God, inhabit the words of our songs and as we sing these words as our prayer of reflection on this day. Fill us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.